The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Hello and welcome to the Two Robbies podcast, your destination for in-depth discussion and analysis of the Premier League and the Champions League. I'm Robbie Musto, he's Robbie Earl, and here are the topics from week 33 of the Premier League. Manchester City go back to the top of the table and Erling Haaland ties a record for Premier League goals in a season. Liverpool and Tottenham play up an absolute thriller at Anfield. Manchester United hold on at Old Trafford, beating Aston Villa 1-0. Newcastle United beat bottom of the table Southampton 3-1, and some key results in the relegation battle. That's what we've got coming up in today's episode.
And before we get into the football, Musty, our announcement to make: the Premier League is coming to the US this summer. Get ready for the first ever Premier League pre-season tournament with six clubs in five East Coast cities: Aston Villa, Brentford, Brighton, Chelsea, Fulham and Newcastle United. Will play in Atlanta, New Jersey, Orlando, Philadelphia and Maryland. The action kicks off on July 22nd. Tickets are now available. And for more information, head over to www.premierleague.com/summer-series. You'll grab all your information there. You'll get to know about tickets. And it'll be unique. It's the first time that this series has been in the US. So if you're going to be on the East Coast and you're a Premier League fan, you need to go to the website. Okay, my friend, summer series done, and we're looking forward to that in the summer. But right now, Manchester City took a big stride towards five titles in six seasons, three straight title wins, in a not overly convincing, but a win is a win, eight straight now in the Premier League, 2-1 win away to Fulham. No Kevin De Bruyne in the team, which was a bit of a shock. They're saying he wasn't fit enough to be part of the squad. And the headlines are: Erling Haaland hits 34 Premier League goals, 50 in all competitions, and Manchester City roll on to the top of the table, first time since mid-February. Over to you, my friend.
Well, not much else to add. Not much to say. No, I think we all expected this, didn't we? And of course, the recent performances and Arsenal's kind of capitulation has meant that we all feel that City will take over the top. They've taken over now by a point. They've got a game in hand. Again, this is one in that window when there's four games going on at the same time. You had a closer eye on it than I did. I mean, when you look at the lineup, Riyad Mahrez comes in, Julian Alvarez comes in and scores a brilliant, brilliant goal. I mean, that it was a, you said it, it's a Kevin De Bruyne type of strike. It reminded me of a, is a blast from the past for you. It reminded me of a Matt Letizia type of strike.
Where he bends it, and
he dips it all the way in there. So really good goal from him. I mean, Erling Haaland will lap up the penalties, Rob. I mean, he'll lap up those. And 34 goals now, isn't it? Which is tied. It's tied for the most in a Premier League season
ever. That's the 42-game season, by the way.
There was a few seasons back in the Premier League at the early days. It was 42 games.
You know. Incredible numbers.
There's going to be no stopping him unless something crazy happens. Unless he gets happens injury-wise, he's going to break the record. And
let's start. Okay, we opened the show today, and I think we both felt it was time. We give a little bit of credit to City. We haven't talked about them enough. The focus has been on Arsenal, whether they'll win it, whether they'll bottle it, and whatever happens from here on in. But we talked about Manchester City. We talked about possible treble. With the Champions League and the FA Cup. We talked about, you know, three straight wins could be three straight title wins, which was done in the past with Manchester United. Maybe history doesn't serve well in that. We maybe don't remember how dominant United were, but we played in those teams, Rob. Played against the treble-winning team. They used to beat us, Manchester United, there with the skill, with their speed, with their physicality, with their will, which was driven by the manager. But this football looks to me to be at a slightly different level. The challenges and the options that Pep Guardiola brings to a game, Rob, Marco Silva must be, like, you're wondering, what's he going to do today? I can see the team, and it looks like maybe a 4-4-2-ish with Alvarez underneath Haaland and Mahrez and Grealish wide, but he'll do something. And what he did today was he threw John Stones into midfield at times, which we've seen.
Yeah.
Gundogan can go on as a second eight, and that's the threat you've got to deal with today. Every time you play City, the opposition have to think, not only are they good players, not only are they on run, but there's going to be something that's going to try and blindside us. Is that his unique strength?
Yes.
Is that his kind of?
I think that's the main reason why his domestic competitions, his teams absolutely dominate, and you sort of think on the back of that, my goodness, they're so good. They make it look so easy in Spain and in Germany and England that they go on and win the Champions League, which hasn't obviously happened. Yeah. But the reason I think is because of that, Rob. If I'm a manager of an opponent, right, and I've got Man City twice in a season, and you watch them play. Because they've got so many different ways of playing, I feel like if Man City played the same way, the same tactical shape all the time, then if I'm a coach of an opponent team, it's like, all right, we know what they do. We've got a little plan to figure it out. But because they've got two or three, probably three definite game plans, you don't know what you're getting.
Yeah.
So the space taken available in the midweek sessions. Mm-hmm. You got what? Two or three days to think about it and to work with the team.
Out, yeah.
Now, if you're not sure they're going to play, you can spend every day getting ready for something, and they throw something different at you.
Yeah.
You know, the last game against Arsenal, Rob, wasn't it? We were talking about how probably someone's going to come into midfield. Didn't happen.
No, it didn't happen.
It was totally different.
Back,
De Bruyne plays alongside Haaland, and so that's a difficulty. That's why teams sometimes, Rob, a little bit beaten. It wasn't today. Fulham were not beaten before it started.
Fulham had a decent go.
But it just shows you how difficult it is. Just, you know what? You just said something about the treble, yeah. Fun fact for you, question for you. So, Manchester United won the treble. Had an amazing season in 1999.
Middlesbrough.
Oh, he's got it before I even asked the question. I think we were the last team that beat them in the pandemic.
Yeah. Middlesbrough, your last team to beat them.
I think we're the last team to beat them in that season or something. I don't know. But it was something about it. And
let me ask you a little bit. So let's just go down this road a little bit, because it isn't. Listen, City haven't won it yet, and people will say, you know, the title still maybe has got a twist or two. They weren't at the brilliant best today, and Fulham got back into the game and had a couple of looks at goal, and there were a couple of penalty shouts that didn't go Fulham's way, but could have ended up 2-2. All being said, you know, City always look to have the class. But want to go down another slight route. With you, Musty, between now. So six more Premier League games to play. Three possibly in the Champions League if they go through, beat Real Madrid in the semi-final. So two semi-finals and a final, and one FA Cup. Do we sense between now and the end of the season? It's interesting with Sir Alex during that time, and I can't quite remember all that's happening, but might we see some rotation? Might we see a little...
Yeah. What do you mean?
And by rotation...
Yeah, they always rotate.
Yeah, what I'm saying is, might we see... So, could Haaland, all of a sudden, if they get to the final, maybe not play a game or two in the Premier League because of we've got a Champions League final, I get the chance to rest him. You know, Foden's just coming back in the picture, I'm thinking. Might he go to Jack? Have a couple of weeks now, Jack. Get ready for the... You know,
might we just see
a little bit... I'm asking the question, only that... There's quality to face quality. It's not like I'm bringing in inferior. I'm bringing in quality players, quality operators.
Yeah.
Does it give me the opportunity to take a little rest and breather? Or is it like, let's keep it on. Let's keep this thing going.
Well, from what we know now, we know a fair bit about Pep Guardiola and his teams and stuff. For what I feel I know about it, I feel like Pep goes on the training ground and he assesses his team and his group right there. For the next game, say it's in 2 days' time.
Yeah.
I think he's looking at them. And players that might look a little tired. Kevin De Bruyne obviously wasn't ready for this game.
Yeah.
No, I don't think there's any big injury. Mm. But Pep looks at his team every single day on the training ground and sees who's up for it. I think Jack Grealish is that bubbly personality that's young. He's very, very fit.
Yeah,
he's durable.
Play, he?
And Pep's like, he looks great. Yeah. He's always going to play.
So
I don't think, and I think they've always done that. There's been a little bit of rotation.
Yeah.
Erling Haaland's got a little bit sore.
Season,
we'll make a couple of changes there. So I think he'll continue exactly the same way.
Yeah.
So if Erling Haaland, I just don't think you see it, Rob. There's been other
it's
times
where,
what do you know what I mean? Like,
it's a good point,
there's been League Cup games.
Like,
well, why didn't you rest De Bruyne or Haaland? I think he looks at them train. If they look in good fettle, they look fit and healthy, I think he just plays them.
It's a good point, because it actually takes me back to pre the game against Arsenal. I think it was about a week before the game, and somebody said to him, you know, who's in better shape? You were playing every 3 or 4 days, or Arsenal were playing now week to week. Yeah, and he said, I'd rather have the match rhythm. Yeah. I'd rather my team be on a run and keep playing and we keep our stands and we keep going.
Because they don't need to train.
Yeah.
They don't need to train
anything.
Yeah,
be a little training, won't
they're
they?
So grooved in all their different two or three different systems. They don't need to.
Yeah.
Well, I would say, Rob, and I'll throw a question at you before we move on from it. Mm. I still think City are not going to win every Premier League game.
Yeah, there's a game missing.
There's a game.
I mean, they weren't brilliant again, and I stressed the point.
We watched the game, Rob, and we were like, Fulham can nick it. They can nick a point. That's 2 points dropped.
Yeah.
Now, it wasn't an Arsenal.
You were looking at Brentford and Brighton, aren't you? Possibly, there's two away games at the end. Last two games of the season.
They've lost against. They've already lost against Brentford once this season.
Yeah.
I just feel like I'm as much unexpected of Arsenal. Because I think City will drop points. I just don't know whether
Arsenal
can
win out in the league
from
here.
They've got some tough games with Newcastle next, haven't they, I think. So, I mean, they keep getting it done, but I do think there's a little, not a wobble, but I think there's a poor result.
Yeah, maybe poor result, poor half a game.
And that
and
might
and
give Arsenal a little
you.
Sniff. I just could don't think they're going to be there to take advantage.
No, but as ever, the opportunity was there. City take it, they win 2-1. No De Bruyne, but Haaland gets his 34th Premier League goal. City move to the top of the table. And we'll see if they can now stay there through till May the 28th.
The spirit of performance defines Acura. And now, it's electric. Introducing the all-electric ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. While what powers their cars may change, the energy that makes Acura never will. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all on its own. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system, up to 313-mile range on a single charge, and A-Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, the ZDX is everything they said electric never could be. It was built with a driver in mind, just like Acura's been doing since the beginning. We could talk all day, but the only way to experience the electric performance is to drive it yourself. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
At Vanguard, you're more than just an investor. You're an owner. That means your priorities are Vanguard's too. So whether you're planning for retirement or trying to save up for your next big adventure, Vanguard will work alongside you to set personalized investment goals. That's the value of ownership. All investing is subject to risk. Vanguard is owned by its funds, which are owned by Vanguard's fund shareholder clients. Vanguard Marketing Corporation Distributor.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Let's move it on, my friend, to one of the games of the weekend, you'd have to say. 7-goal thriller at Anfield. Liverpool come flying out the traps 3-0 up. Spurs get a goal just before half-time, 3-1. Ryan Mason, whatever he says, it works. He sends his team out 2 minutes before Liverpool are out. Get out there and get it sorted. They do. They have a go. Eventually, they get to 3-3 with Richarlison. And then a minute later, Diogo Jota comes up. Dagger in the heart. Pulled hamstring for the manager. 3 points for Liverpool.
That might be my favourite piece of this weekend, is Jurgen Klopp. I think he sprinted over to the...
To the fourth official.
I don't think he did it then. I think he sprinted over, he turned and he ran away and slowed down a little bit, and that's when he went down and grabbed his
got to do your stretches,
amazing, amazing.
Let's talk about this game, because there's quite a lot to talk about in this, isn't there?
There's a lot to talk about. And of course, where are we going to start?
Liverpool.
Well, I know exactly where I want to start.
Go on then.
I want to start, and I got nudged on it on social media. You know, we'll check our social media. You know, I'll check it at the end of the day or sometimes. And there's a Spurs fan coming on and saying to me, whatever Spurs are doing, whatever they're doing, their preparation, they've got to rip it up and do something different. Mm. Whether they're staying overnight, whether they're having pretty much lunch at a certain time, whether they're whenever they're meeting before they go to the game, whatever they're doing in preparation for a game, they got to change it.
Yeah.
Because the starts they're making are absolutely shocking and not in keeping with what they can potentially do. Now, that every goal, Rob, and we had such a quick day today, with so much going on, every goal that Spurs conceded was a pretty basic error. Let's go backwards. I mean, Lucas Moura, fair play. Like, he comes on as a wing-back. A strange decision to play the ball back inside, but Jota goes through and finishes off really, really well.
Yeah, lovely finish.
You've got Christian Romero. I kind of like him, Rob, because he is aggressive.
He's really rash
for that one. You had Eric Dier that didn't track a runner on Cody Gakpo that plays a little give and go, or he gets a little ball in behind. He just lets him get goal side. Luis Diaz scores that one.
Yeah.
And then you get the first one with Pedro Porro, and we highlighted it on our replay, that you're meant to cover as a fullback, centre-back. You're meant to kind of cover over and be close. Mm. But he's right there.
Romero's right there
on Mo Salah, as it is.
It's Diaz.
I think it was Mo Salah in the centre. But anyway, whoever it was, he's come right across and left Curtis Jones
on his own on
so
the outside.
They were, four, wasn't it? Four really avoidable goals.
Yeah. So three in the first 15 minutes.
Back at the start, Rob.
Yeah.
Is there something that Spurs are doing in preparation for a game that's setting them off in a terrible
start? I think that gives them an out, by the way. Oh, yeah, the pre-match meals we are eating at. Whoa. Let's get to the bottom of this. That's about your mental preparation. That's about your team ethical. That's about, like, a couple of times in the tunnel back in the day, I used to grab the boys together and go, hey, come on, we're away at Newcastle. We've got to be ready for this. Come, you get people going, you give them a little dig, you wind people up, you go out with a roar and a... That's what happened. That's nothing to do with whether I'm sleeping overnight. That's nothing with my pre-match meal. That's nothing to do with that, Rob. Those basic errors, that lack of start and fight... absolutely eliminates Spurs from the game. You give a top six team. You give
Why are they doing it then?
You give a big.
They're not tuned in. And why not?
Yeah, they're not
tuned
in.
Should they do something different?
If Pep Guardiola's in charge of that team, they don't start that game like that.
Well, so his preparation might be different to what they're doing.
Well,
now,
maybe the preparation, but it's just the when his team. Pep Guardiola does at halftime. There's a great shot of anybody gets to Sanchez see it. Halftime in the Fulham game, and the Fulham tunnel's at the top end of the thing, and you have to go all the way across the pitch. Pep Guardiola at halftime, Rob, just before they're coming out, grabs all these players and starts going through one of you. We've seen Pep with the hands in there. Now, at this point, I don't know what he's saying. He might not be saying anything, but guess what he's doing? He's bringing everybody's attention.
Focus,
and he was almost
focused.
We're 2-1, this game and done, da 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 da, and they're the champions. So Spurs, who are looking to try and get to some consistency, Rob, have to have something. And you made an interesting point, and it was one of them where I didn't disagree. You said, look at them at 2-0 or 3-0 down. Who's the one who's gearing them? Who's that guy who's firing them up? And you said, it's not Harry. I don't think it's Harry's personality. He's not a fist-pumping...
I just wanted somebody to...
Correct. It's probably going to be Højbjerg I look at, as possibly.
Yeah.
Maybe Romero could be because he's that personality. But what we're saying is there isn't one of them either, and I'm not saying you have to be a Roy Keane
or
somebody around that group has to instigate the fight, the
focus, motivation, determination, desperation.
Let's give this 15-20 minutes, because if Spurs cook out the 15-20 minutes of a game, by the way, they'd be in it. They'd have beat Liverpool today.
Let's forget all about that side of it, right? Just because I want to get onto the details here.
Yeah.
Now, when my first reaction to this game, and of course the game's finishing up, and I'm thinking what I want to say, and we saw a ton of great attacking players in this game, scoring goals, right? And you can include Spurs' players as well in that.
Yeah.
Defensively, not good enough. And I want to get specific here.
Spurs?
Right, let's get specific.
Well, we've been there. Let's go.
So... the first player I go to meet is Eric Dier.
Yeah.
Why I'm doing this again is because Jose Mourinho, Antonio Conte is continue to pick Eric Dier and Ben Davis in a back three. Mm. Christian Romero is a newer signing. We know he's a little bit rash.
Yeah.
Pedro Porro is a new signing. If Spurs want to change how they start, how they defend, they've got to change the personnel defensively, haven't they? And Ben Davis and Eric Dier. If I'm manager, if I come in and I go in there, I'm pulling in Ben Davis, I'm pulling in Eric Dier, and I'm saying, I'm sorry, but we're listening to offers for you too.
Okay, I hear
you.
I feel strongly that
centre back needs to be massively upgraded because. Sometimes you don't realise the mistakes those guys are making consistently. They've conceded, They've conceded, sorry, let me get here, 53 goals.
Yeah.
This is, by the way, before the weekend. So
yeah,
let's get to
56, isn't it?
It's 57 goals conceded. I'm going down the league table.
Yeah,
you're going down to
Bournemouth.
You're going down to Bournemouth,
the
13th.
Yeah, it's the team.
You've got to address
their bottom half team. Okay, I get it. I've got a slight issue, and I might pull you up on this one. So the back four that goes to Newcastle, that Stellini, terrible back four, right, by the way?
Well, he went...
He went terrible back four.
Yeah,
back four. Poro and Perisic are wing-backs, not full-backs. Right. They don't know the full-back role, as you saw today with Poro. He can't defend in the far stick. But I would look at, and Eric Dyer is a great example, because we've done the Dyer a bit like Harry Maguire, and why do we keep asking the same question? Season after season, is Eric Dyer good enough? I would point to Tyrone Mings as a kind of quite good example of...
Not having it.
In terms of... Different system, different manager, different protection. We've seen players look different. There's players under Eric Ten Hag who didn't look anything like this. There's players under Unai Emery who didn't look... There's players under Eddie Howe. There's players under Eddie Howe at Newcastle who didn't look anything like... So players can be changed by good coaching and a system that suits. What I'm saying about Eric Dyer is... The system that Spurs play, and this is the bit I'd probably say to Ryan Mason, and probably Ryan Mason hasn't got enough time, this system doesn't work for Spurs. That is the bottom line. This system has to have three centre-backs who are solid, wing-backs who know the role, who can play five and at times as push forward, and then your midfield and your attack who counter-attack and hurt you. The second part of what Spurs do, counter-attack and midfield, is perfect. Spurs still have got a top... four or certainly a top six front line.
Definitely.
Back half of the pitch, it's just above relegation defensively in terms of settlement. And the numbers prove that.
But can
we change the system or can somebody else come in and look at it different?
I agree with the second half of that statement, but I still, and I think it's a really interesting, it's a good point about Tyrone Mings, and can a manager change a player enough to be an effective player within the correct system?
Correct.
Right? Now, and I agree on Tyrone Mings, but I can't agree on Eric Dyer, Rob, because...
We've seen good Dyer, Rob. We have seen good Dyer. We've seen
good
Dyer
for a little
bit. I can't
agree because natural talents, in my opinion, are not it doesn't align with a top four, top six defender. Now, what he's good at is getting the ball and spraying it around. He's really good at those long diagonal balls, but not dominant in the air, nowhere near quick enough, not good enough on a 1v1 defender, and positionally gets caught out, and a little, you know, today, you know, not a little lazy tracking, you know.
Yeah, yeah, I know tracking. What you mean. His instincts aren't
even
good,
with,
are they?
What I'm trying to say, I'll summarise it, even with a different manager that does things
very
differently.
With a better partner?
With a better partner? Whatever you want to dress it up, I still don't think he's naturally got enough gifts.
Listen, I'm not
as a defending player.
I don't disagree. I'm trying to make an argument for
because players do change.
People can change into different systems and different managers.
How many has he had?
Yeah.
How many managers has he had?
Yeah, he's had good defensive managers. Yeah, it's a good point from the defensive point of view.
So, yeah, let's switch to Liverpool. Let's switch to them and pros and cons and goods and bads. I mean,
the 20 minutes, you start off. No, you start because you did a nice piece on the change of system that includes Trent. Yeah. And we saw it play out for 20 minutes in the game, mate. He totally ran the game.
Yeah.
Kevin De Bruyne-like.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's obviously something different. And that's something that Liverpool are working on.
Yeah.
This is something they're definitely thinking about continuing for next season.
Yeah.
It's a copy of Man City and how they do things. And by the way, other teams are doing the same thing.
Yeah.
It definitely takes advantage of Trent's world-class passing. It puts more responsibility on Ibrahima Konate to get across
that side.
So in the right environment, when Liverpool are on it and they're trying to play, they have an extra man in midfield, and that worked out tremendously well for them. His passing, his assist, his crosses for the first goal. But to be fair, Rob, that's why this isn't a slam dunk.
No.
You know, this isn't going to solve all their problems.
No.
Because there are downsides to it. Mm. And when you start giving the ball away and there's transitions, then Trent is in an awkward position to get back and help.
Yeah.
And there was one play where Konate gets drawn in. So that's Trent out of it.
Yeah.
He gets drawn in, and the ball goes in behind him as a wing-back Perisic that goes through for the goal.
It was a goal. It was Harry Kane's goal,
There's
got to work
risk and reward
out,
with it.
Yeah.
And just throwing it back to you, Rob, like, So there's positives for Liverpool.
Yeah.
All the
yeah.
four players now yeah. looking great. Look at the score sheet. All the, you know,
big boys have got getting goals.
But in this game, have we also seen, we've talked about Spurs, are we also seeing why in this game, why yeah. Liverpool yeah. are not top four already?
Absolutely.
They're not yeah. because they haven't got the balance right of attack and defence. And another good example of almost thrown away situation that looks so comfortable for them.
I wrote a note, Rob, and it was like before the game had started, and it was like, who's not at their best is best. And it's like two teams who are not at their best. But the best of Spurs and the best of Liverpool, Liverpool are better. But if Liverpool,
and I'd say Liverpool are a little closer to their best than Tottenham.
Yeah, they are. But it was, and that's what played out today in the end. But Liverpool can be so much better and will have to be so much better if they're going to think about going back to title to challenge the Man Cities of the world. And Spurs, if they want top four, if they want Champions League football, if they want to start closing the gap, have to address their issues. And it's funny, Rob, because Trent Alexander is a great example of what I think Jurgen Klopp's doing with Trent. And he's talk about, I think it's 5 assists in his last 5 Premier League games now.
Yeah,
and that
5 or 6.
What he's doing is he's saying to Trent, stop worrying about the things you don't do well. Show me, do the things you do well, and I'll make right. up for that. Right. I'll put in
Robertson's got to be.
I'll tweet the team to get all the good bits of you, and I kind of feel that's a team thing for both these teams. Like the good bits of Liverpool and the good bits of Spurs are obvious with their attacking, with their threats, but they've got to address the things that they're not good at, Rob, and that's for Liverpool defensively, and then you know about their press and you talked about the Gagan press that Klopp wants back, and that's a big thing for next season. Yeah. From Spurs' point of view, I think Spurs have to review, with this group and profile of players, am I getting the best out of? Because I don't think the three at the back system with the wing backs, the way they play it, not having the ball. I wrote another note with Spurs. They're the only big six team in the league who prefer the opposition to have the ball, who don't particularly want the ball. So it makes it even harder for them to win games, Rob, because if the opposition are really good, they're not going to make the mistakes. You're not going to get the turnovers.
Can I end this with one name?
Go on.
Can I end this with one name?
Oh, no.
Yeah. Roberto De Zerbi.
Yeah. That's three names, but go on.
He won't get the job because, it's a little early. But you talk about a team that wants to have the ball, and you talk about a team that takes advantage of his attacking players. Mm. Brighton haven't got star players. Cool. Danny Welbeck scored
got early. 6 this weekend.
Yeah, I would love to see him take over there. Talk about a change of flipping paradigm, everything.
We're going off thing, man. Yeah. It's a nice place, but why doesn't Daniel Levy do it then? What stops Daniel Levy? Why aren't the people around Daniel Levy going, all right, Nagelsmann, and all right, yes, Enrique, we've seen a guy come in our league who's, Pep's talked about him being one of the best at what he does. You know, he's Poch-like and it's a project. We've seen him take Potter's role on and make it and take it better. Why isn't Daniel Levy, why wouldn't that happen?
Well, I feel like he continues to think that a big-name guy
big
is going to take him over.
That's Spurs' problem. Big-name winner.
Exactly. When's the last hire that Daniel made?
Pochettino, and there's your success.
There you go.
And they ain't getting
an up-and-coming, hungry guy has come from a smaller club.
Yeah, with a project.
With a project. I would love to see it. I would love to see it. But
at Vanguard, you're more than just an investor. You're an owner. That means your priorities are Vanguard's, too. So whether you're planning for retirement or trying to save up for your next big adventure, Vanguard will work alongside you to set personalized investment goals. That's the value of ownership. All investing is subject to risk. Vanguard is owned by its funds, which are owned by Vanguard's fund shareholder clients. Vanguard Marketing Corporation Distributor.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters. Both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Good chat, my friend. Good chat. Yeah. Let's go to Manchester United. You were watching this one closely. Manchester United 1, Aston Villa 0. Bruno, you got to love him, haven't you? Eric Ten Hag loves him. Surgical boot 1 minute, football boots the other, gets a goal, gets the win. Tight game. I think Villa were coming back into things. United didn't have the control, Rob. I think it's something that we've talked about and something that Ten Hag's just going to have to work on.
Yeah, you know what? It's like it's almost every game we get to and you're like, oh, this is kind of similar again. United, I'm really enjoying Eric Ten Hag's kind of project here.
Yeah.
If we can say project. I think going forward, again, looking at the last game, like really good going forward, but defensively, you know, that whole balance is a little bit off. Bruno Fernandes, for me, I get frustrated like everybody else when he goes on his rant. He throws his arms up in the air and he gets in the face of officials and he's not brilliant. Leader, captain type, but in terms of his ability, stunning ability. Plays a little bit different role today, a little bit further to the right hand side. So I bet he's playing in the number 10. And Manchester United play some really good football going forward, but again they ended up kind of hanging on a little bit. That's a tough game.
This
is in that window, stuff going on. But I did look at this mostly, and I just impressed Manchester United, particularly in the start, the way they start the game, the fluidity. The expansive nature of their football, getting in behind. I thought a lot of players made forward runs. And something for the X's and O's and the tactical geeks out there. We know that we've seen before, Rob, the fullback tuck it into midfield.
Goes left side. He does it more with his left side.
He does it more with his left side player. But also, what we've seen in the Premier League is Stones coming into midfield. Yeah. Trent, as pen as a six. So there's a holding midfield player alongside the next one. Yeah. Manchester United do it a little differently. Dalot holds a little bit, and Malacia from left back. They kind of go really forward on it, like inside left forward. Like they go a long way in there, which is
higher
a little
up
bit
the pitch, higher up the pitch. Then.
Yeah, and Eriksen, who's a holding player, holds and allows him. It's just something for the geeks out there to take a look at how they do it, because it's a little bit different. And I'm going to have a little shout out to somebody, Rob, who did a brilliant bit of defending today, Victor Lindelof. Victor Lindelof.
Oh, this header that he
header that he makes. Yeah, but that's a stunning bit of defending. Mm. But again, a player that's had a lot of stick at Manchester United, played alongside Harry Maguire for a long period of time, and got, you know, I think we see now that Luke Shaw is preferred. Yeah. Luke Shaw is preferred to Maguire.
It's a bit of a worry.
And the two of them, I think, do a really good job. Mm. And I don't know whether I ever see Lisandro Martinez playing alongside Luke Shaw, but, you know, height for a centre back, I don't know whether it's a little less important.
Yeah, I was just going to say the game's not quite the same. Banging big balls in the box and you've got to win.
The goalkeeper's not kicking the ball long. Yeah. It's just a thought. Mm. I just wanted to give a little shout out to Luke Shaw and Victor Lindelof, particularly Lindelof, the way that they're playing. And it's a good victory against the side that I really like as well.
They had a go, didn't they, Shane?
They had a go. They're good. They're good. And the first half, Manchester United were dominant. And to be dominant against Villa, with the way that they outnumber in midfield a little bit, is good.
So another,
you know, and they happen to be good. I mean, we didn't really focus, you know, the top four, the last game, Liverpool, Spurs, they're getting kept out of it by Manchester United. They want to get in there. Man United are going to have to have a little bit of
Liverpool are going to have to almost win out.
And Man United are going to have to have
a bit of a thing.
They can get
there. There's one thing for Man United and Ten Hag. It's the first game since Unai Emery's taken over that Villa haven't scored
right.
So clean sheet against a Villa team that are making chances and scoring goals is a little feather in the cap. So, good work. Good win for United. Important win. Okay, my friend, let's take it to St. James's Park. Because, again, this was one that I was more keeping my eye on. I'm obviously looking across a couple of games. But it was an Eddie Howe team that Anthony Gordon got a start on the left-hand side, which was a bit of a change. Pretty much the usual runners and riders everywhere else. Dan Byrne had come into the team. I think Target played the last time. Mm. And it was a game that probably didn't go to plan in that Spurs, Southampton went 1-0 up through Stuart Armstrong. Bruno Guimarães got caught on possession by Lavia. Turnover, transition. Southampton did well, 1-0 up at half time.
Good player, Lavia, by the way.
Yeah.
Romero Lavia.
I think he's got one or two really looking at him. Yeah. I think Chelsea weren't, wasn't it? Chelsea look at everybody, but Chelsea, I think, had a little dip at him. But he's going to be a good player. depending on how things go for Southampton. But, Bobby Musto, half-time, Eddie Howe makes a big change. Anthony Gordon, off you pop, my friend. Hasn't quite worked for him yet. He hit the outside of the post when he should have scored and has still got a bit of work to do to cement a place in the team. But what does he do? So he brings on Callum Wilson, who's got a club-high 13 Premier League goals at this point, and moves Isak out to the left-hand side, Rob, which we saw against Everton.
Was he out there at that point?
That's where
was he playing
he
out
was
there
playing
at
out
point,
there at that,
that
amazing, point.
Amazing dribbling
Everton,
run.
Everton, dribbling run that led to the fourth goal. Today, he's out on the left-hand side, beats the fullback, puts a ball in for Callum Wilson to get the equalising goal, and they score, Rob. And from that moment on, it was always about, are Newcastle going to go on and win this game? They did, to an own goal from Theo Walcott. Callum Wilson gets his second then. It's 8 goals in 7 Premier League appearances now for Callum Wilson. To the point, Rob, where I'm going. Great win from Newcastle again. Dire for Southampton. We'll talk about them just briefly in a minute. But are we starting to get to the... Are we at a time when Isak and Wilson maybe have to play in the same team? Can we balance that up? We've got to get two forwards of that
Eddie Howe
quality.
Has gone to it multiple times now.
Yeah,
as a
get me out of trouble
And I
kind
don't
of
know
thing.
whether... Why...
15
that,
goals?
That's really altering the balance of the team.
The left-hand side?
Well, just the artists and soldiers thing. You know,
well, you think so?
I think Isak's less likely to help defensively
than the press.
Maybe not.
Than Joe Ellington or than...
Certainly not. He doesn't press. He wouldn't work as much as them.
No.
Saint-Maximin, maybe.
Yeah.
I like Isak as a centre forward. I don't know what the solution is.
Yeah.
Here.
Yeah.
For me, I would continue the same way.
Yeah, I'm just looking as an outsider, seeing when those two are in the team, and I'm thinking more of a fan than somebody looking at it like.
Should it be a continued thing off the bench?
Correct.
And
maybe.
First go to when it if it's ever not going right, because every single time I feel like it's worked
these
out.
Goals,
and is Isak okay playing wide? You know, I don't know, but isn't it great? They've got two centre forwards that can score goals regularly in the Premier League.
I think the other thing to note with that, and I think it was something I touched on when we were just talking about the warm-ups of the teams, there's interchangeable parts with Newcastle now, mate. There's Almiron that's come back in the picture. You know, there's Willock, there's Murphy, there's Longstaff, there's Joe Ellington, there's Bruno. There's parts that can go in
and play in different bits.
Different bits.
Joe Ellington
and different,
can play in like
correct,
three positions.
Three
at
positions.
Same
and Willock
with,
can
Joe
do
Willock.
Yeah. Murphy can do two or three different positions. You know, he put Target in the other day and give Byrne a rest, and Byrne can play centre.
Longstaff, who he loves, can
go
and try and get some goals.
I just think there's a little bit more to Newcastle than maybe we thought just the first 11. And with money to spend in the summer, Rob, they look like that it's going to be Champions League football. And you know what I did? You know, the old romantic. You know what I did? I went online and I thought, I remember Newcastle being in the Champions League. And it was in 97, 98, and I think 2002, 2003. Like they qualified twice.
Separate times, yeah.
And twice they played Barcelona.
Did they?
In the Champions League. Yeah, St. James's Park, Barcelona. Yeah. You almost can imagine that, can't you?
Yeah. And to that point of being a Champions League club going into the summer, they also just announced a new sponsorship deal, a shirt sponsorship deal that's £25 million a season.
Wow.
So this all goes into financial fair play, where you want to spend more money on players and wages.
You need to
you've got to take some revenue, income, and that helps on the balance sheet.
Mm.
So you know, back to the Champions League, back to the revenues, they can. And I think I heard Eddie Howe say that bringing in players now, we're looking to make the first 11 better, which is hard to find players to do that for reasonable fees. Mm. So it continued. Listen, again, it was in that window.
Yeah.
Every time I looked at the Newcastle game, they're absolutely buzzing.
They're insatiable, by the way. They drive for goals.
I love Newcastle. And whenever it gets to a point where they're in a bad rut, I'm going to look back and think, are they working as hard?
Yeah.
Are they front foot enough? Are they attacking as much as they got everybody? I mean, there's so much energy for Newcastle United right now. I guess the fans obviously are driving them forward, but...
Yeah, it's a great watch.
Yeah.
Just a quick word on Southampton, mate, because I think before the game, Anna asked us about it, and I sort of said, and I'm not always a lover of the thing, but it's coming must win for Southampton. Go up to Newcastle and get something. They go 1-0 up, never really in control, setting off, and the moment that Wilson scores, they're up against it. 24 points now, mate. 20th in the table. They've played 34 games. It means they've got four games left, which
four
is a maximum of 12 points.
12 points to 36. For any chance, they've got to win all of them.
Anything. any chance.
We're going to win all of them.
It feels done to me. It feels like one's gone. Mathematically not, and I know our stats guys have said, be careful what you say on air, because we can have these things. And I'm not saying there isn't a miracle coming, and I'm not saying I don't want a miracle, because nothing would give us more pleasure to see them fight. But they've got to win four games, Rob. They've won six games all season.
Others are going to win too. Yeah. Others are going to win games. I think Leicester City are going to win a game or two soon to get out of it as well. So, yeah, I think it was quite a definitive weekend, Rob, which actually does just rolls us over to our next game quite nicely because, you know, at the end of the day today when the games are finished, you know, we're asked to sort of say, well, what's the main headlines today? Yeah. And I think we both agreed, and you went to it first, is that I think we've seen a couple of results today that aren't mathematically definitive, but it feels like definitive. Yeah. And the first one of those is Bournemouth. Bournemouth 4, Leeds United 1. Bournemouth now on 39 points.
39 points, mate. 39 points.
And they've won 5 out of the last 7, I believe.
39 points, mate.
Yeah, they were 4-6. They've won 5 out of the last 7. I mean, how about that for some
You ain't going down with 39 points.
You're not going down with 39 points. So,
Based on what's happened.
For me, it's congratulations time. So that football
open
club.
A cold one, click one open, glug one down. Gary O'Neill and his team, and I know it's not mathematical, and we'll wait for that in a couple weeks. But I'm saying you now, if I'm a Bournemouth player, you're pretty good.
I'm
great.
I'm phoning around a few of the boys tonight.
And we're saying,
come on, get the wives.
We're going to have a nice dinner.
The lads are coming out.
Because let's go back to the start of the season, and I'll speak for me first. They were in my team's three teams to go down. And I think majority of pundits who are honest will say the same thing. For them to stay up, Rob, is akin to City winning the title. It's at that level. For Gary O'Neill, a rookie coach, 39 years of age, who takes over from Scott Parker after a 9-0 loss to Liverpool, who's has a run where he starts well as interim, gets given the job, has a run, I think 7 games once he got the job, that they didn't get a victory, and it's all panic, and people like me are saying, well, you shouldn't have given him the job. Mm. And he's found a way, Rob, his management, his organisation, the way he's carried himself.
Yeah, and really, really, really mature.
Not got you up. Yeah. You know, the press have been trying to have a little, you know, poke him a little bit and see what he says. How many points do we need to stay up? It's not about points. Our performances will be good. And then if they perform, I thought he's handled it perfectly.
I did too. And when he first started coming on, I thought, well, he sounds like a sensible, mature guy. And sometimes, like, you don't know where to go with it. I don't know how they've done it. I don't know where the players. And this goes.
I think the January window was important.
Yeah, Ouattara came off. Yeah, he started today. Yeah, I think they did make some good signings. Yeah. Marcus Senesi is a defender they brought into the football club. Yeah. Tavernier from my old club, Middlesbrough's done a really good job. Scored some goals. Dominic Solanke doesn't get much credit, I think, because his numbers aren't amazing. I did read something saying you should watch him play because he does a lot of good work, and he did a lot of good work in this game. But in terms of star players and Premier League quality...
It's not based on that.
I can't tell.
It's not based on that.
It's more than that. Yeah. It's more than that, and they've done it. So it just shows you, whatever scenario you think, and if we say things like they ain't got enough Premier League players,
that's not right.
There's a way.
And I'm going to go right there, mate, and go to my underappreciated performer of the week. Now, I'm not sure... It might be a first for the two Robbies. I'm going to give it to an owner. Bill Foley, my friend. And you know, as soon as I say Bill Foley, you'll think of December, an interview that he did, very public, went out on all the media outlets in the UK, where he came out with the eternal words, I guarantee we will be a Premier League team next season. I guarantee.
I know.
And we went... Oh.
And they were at that point. They were right down there.
And we were like, Bill, this is Premier League. You don't make those kind of guarantees because you're not sure. Mm. Well, Mr. Foley, I apologise. Mr. Foley, you were right.
Yeah.
Mr. Foley, Bournemouth have maybe not exceeded your expectations. Certainly have done with mine. And in great decision to go with Gary O'Neill and stick with him and not be swayed because other people is it time? Should we make another change?
Like
we've seen Southampton, you know, Nathan Jones and the Sellers. Great win. Brilliant. Owner of the Golden Knights, NHL team.
Right.
And people Vegas. Who know him in Vegas. The Vegas Knights, people who know him in the sports industry say he runs a very good franchise and he will make Bournemouth successful. So if they do stay up, and it looks like all intents is now they will, they could be a very interesting watch over the next few years. They may look at Brentford and Brighton as their kind of, that's where we need to get to. He wants to improve the stadium, enlarge the stadium, get better players in the football club.
I don't think we'd be talking about Bill Foley as an underappreciated performer.
Bill Foley, underappreciated. Well done, Bill.
Well, out of left field. And, yeah, we'll see. If he's a super smart guy and he's got the Midas touch and he can keep us going, then fair play. He did put his hand in his pocket in January. Yeah. Some quite good amounts of money that's spent, which really helped the team. So, no, good bit of love for Bournemouth. Deserve it right now. Absolutely. And the two Robbies are basically saying, listen, they're good. Yeah. They're going to stay at the B in division next year, which is some
incredible
achievement. Well done. Leeds United, Rob. Leeds.
Worry. Alarm bells for me, my friend. I've been saying for a while, and I keep saying, and it maybe sounds repetitive, they have no control of football games, Rob. The will of the opposition, and if the opposition are good enough, as Bournemouth were today, they lose matches. We've talked about the back four, and I'm not going to keep going on. The back four, individually and collectively, is not good enough. Yeah. The goalkeeper is starting to have a few issues, I think because of what he's playing in front of and what's coming at him. Meslier's not in a good moment when you need him at this stage of the season, I've got to be honest.
Do you think that Jesse March would have had a better chance? I feel like the team
More
spirit. I feel they were playing better. I thought at the time that it was a very big call to get rid of him and bring somebody else in. And the theory would have been, we're still conceding
many
goals.
He got a little reaction.
He's
conceded
more goals.
I think he won 2 of 3 early on, didn't he?
Early on.
And people were saying, oh, he's bringing a bit of order to the chaos and all that stuff.
Yeah, I think we probably said that as well.
So we did go down that route. But, I mean, it's easy after the event to say Jesse Marsh. My point with this, and I think I said to you after, is it almost feels, Rob, that it's still a Bielsa team. That it's still based on really what Bielsa did. And so everybody's trying to tweak that. But basically the players know how to play the Bielsa style. Should they not
just... It's been knocked out of them for the last... Hasn't it?
Yeah.
It's been like, oh, that's not the way
that's
to go.
That's the way.
Man-to-man, tracking a run as we...
And they're no good... By the way, they're no good at the other way. We've seen the other way. They're conceding goals for fun. They haven't just lost today 1-0 or 2-1.
They're getting smashed.
They're getting smashed for... And that hurts you even more.
I just... One last thing on it, Rob. Again, let's look at some numbers here.
Yeah.
Conceded... Where are they? 67, right? And Bournemouth are 64. But Bournemouth did something about it.
Yeah,
they got smashed 9, didn't they? Remember Scott
Parker? 9
at
Liverpool,
Scott Parker saying, like,
we're not equipped for the...
Wow. So they addressed it through the manager, through signings.
Yeah.
Leeds United haven't addressed the biggest problem all along, that play Robin Koch back there or Pascal Strike back there. Or Liam Cooper, who's a club legend, I get that.
Verber even, Rob.
Well, he's been a bit better, but I don't know why he didn't start today.
Yeah.
But that's, you know, I really like watching some of it and Nyonto and some of and Jack Harrison. You know, some of the, and Aronson's been out the side a little bit, but they're good going forward.
Adams has been a bit of a miss.
Massive miss.
Bit of a miss, mate. Just
massive
something
miss
in front of the thing, a little bit of fire massive in front of that miss back four and getting around the football pitch.
You know what I feel about him. I think he's a wonderful player. I think he's a top four player. And I don't know, we'll see what Leeds do. 30 points right now, banging trouble, confidence, belief, probably rock bottom.
Where are they next week, my friend? Leeds are, oh dear, they're away at Manchester City.
Oh dear. Erling Haaland, how many do you want to...
Well, hasn't he got links? Didn't his dad used to play for Leeds? Might he take it easy?
He's not going to score then? He might take it easy.
You better hope that.
Oh, blimey.
Let's go to Brighton. Let's go to your De Zerbi ball.
Is that where we're going? Okay,
Let's go to De Zerbi ball first, then we'll go back to Nottingham Forest. Let's go to De Zerbi ball 6-0 against Wolves. The Wolves team that we've talked about, the organisation, Lopetegui's done a good job. I mean, incredible.
Yeah, and De Zerbi said afterwards, that's the best coach game he's ever coached, I think.
Yeah.
I think he chucked in a massive statement about the best game I ever coached against a well-organised, with an experienced coach.
Is that because he got Danny Welbeck 2 goals? Got him for ace.
I know. It is. I really like this story at this club. I spent a little bit of time with the chief executive. I've probably told everybody a million times. I found that fascinating about how they do things.
Yeah.
They know who's going to be next in for certain spots within the football club. De Zerbi was on their list. A little bit fortunate. It was Shakhtar Donetsk,
the Ukraine
team that's obviously with the situation there with the conflict. He was out. Look at, you know, I guess available.
Wow.
So
what a pickup that
is. It was always on his. I think they tried to get him or were interested in him before, and it's remarkable.
Yeah,
and again, every team's got their way of doing things. We talk about artists and soldiers. They've got a lot of artists.
Yeah.
And their fullbacks can be Pascal Gross and it can be Solly Marsh or people that absolutely play like wingbacks. So they're like wingbacks with just two defenders. And they're comfortable on the ball. They recruit players that are comfortable on the ball starting from the
pocket. Well, that is a good example of Lewis Dunk would be one. I mean, what's he turned him into? When you talk about Eric Dyer, you can change people. Lewis Dunk has turned into one of the best passing centre-backs in the Premier League. Now, Lewis Dunk was a good player.
He's a better natural defender than Eric Dyer.
Yeah, his instincts are better. Defender. Yeah, and he's a better passer than Eric Dyer. His numbers are incredible.
Yeah, if you can do that, if you can get tune out the ones that are already there, but obviously the star of this football club is Tony Bloom, and their supercomputer of recruitment and data and all that kind of stuff, and it throws up my underappreciated. Now, as you know, sometimes on our underappreciated. I think I've given quite a few, but I like to give a one to watch.
Yeah,
because I think we had a tweet one day saying, give us a young emerging talent. Mm. I'm going to give you one right now. Where is he? His name is Julio Enciso, Paraguayan, 19 years of age. I think he's got two assists today.
Two assists at the weekend.
Watch him play. Yeah, yeah. Silky, confident on the ball, can play as a number 10. He's an attacking midfield player. So typical of the sort of players that Brighton go for with their recruitment. Paraguay, Ecuador.
Yeah, they've got good,
you know, they
good
go
links,
to different Chile, different countries where the big boys don't recruit. Paul Barber told me himself, like, we can't compete with them. So we'll go to different areas. And, I mean, underappreciated. Probably a little bit early for that, but certainly one to watch.
Yeah.
And whenever you see Brighton play, and Bonanotte, another kid called Bonanotte,
Argentinian.
They think is really special as well. But Julio Enciso, I've just watched him the last couple of games. Yeah, I saw him a little bit today as well.
Like a proper player,
doesn't
he?
He can really play silky, final ball in. He got that creative pass in him as well. So I just wanted to give Enciso a shout for people just to keep an eye on.
Yeah, good shout. Great day for Brighton, not for Wolves. Let's go back one because I know this one was a game. Brentford 2, Nottingham Forest 1.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's Mix and Match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
We both watched this game, Rob. We were watching it at the same time. We were both impressed with Nottingham Forest's setup, what Steve Cooper had done to his team, and how he'd been made it difficult for Brentford to attack.
Through the centre, yeah.
Really strong through the central areas, allowing them a little bit of space in wide. Did a brilliant job for 80 minutes. Got themselves 1-0 up. Mm. In the game, and you think
Danilo
with a
deflected to him,
deflected to nice finish, and we're 82 minutes on the clock. Rob, Nottingham Forest in great position, and then it was Kouyaté had come on as a substitute, gave away a bit of a cheap foul on the edge of the box, which is one of them. As it, before anything happens, I've sort of said, don't want to be doing them silly challenges.
You said the same thing. Like, who's that? Yeah. Let's make sure we show that. Yeah. That's a dangerous place to make a foul.
And then not only does he give the foul away. But he's involved, Rob, in, I think, inexcusable.
I did too.
Actions that he does. He's the last man in the wall, for our viewers who haven't, maybe you've seen it. He's the last man in the wall. When you put your wall up, it's the side of the goal that the goalkeeper's saying, OK, I'm going to stand at the opposite side. The wall is going to defend one side of the goal.
Yeah.
Now, to beat you've got to go around the wall or over the wall to score.
Which we see quite a bit. It's hard to do.
Yeah, and that's where the goalkeeper thinks, well, if they're going to come over and I'll get... Across, and I've got time to get across. The one cardinal sin for a wall is what we call for a wall to break, for there'd be gaps in the wall.
Yeah.
Everybody else stood together. Kouyaté somehow jumps up, turns his back, jumps away from his teammate. Ivan Toney doesn't hit the ball that well, hits it through the wall. Navas can't get back. Forest lose the lead. Brentford get back into the game, and from that moment on, the game changed.
I'm gonna show you right now what you should have done. Because because what he did, I don't know if we can get the camera going to get me if I stand up.
Well, all our podcast listeners who are not watching.
So what he did is he turned and jumped and turns away and creates a space here right inside him.
Yeah.
What we were always told to do is that
face,
you know, you're naturally going to stand like that. You stand on your tiptoes and
you make yourself big.
Put your chin down. So the ball's coming at your face. You can head the ball. You can clear it there.
The thing I would say on that, Rob, it wasn't that hard hit, and B, it wasn't one of those where there's some that you think, oh, that's really going to... It didn't catch it that particularly well, Ivan Toney.
He turned away, jumped.
Well, he didn't do his job. As a professional, he didn't do his job.
Yeah, and then from there on...
From that on, the moment went away. Brentford, who hadn't particularly played that well, you know, had thrown lots of forwards on. I think he had about six or seven of his forward players on the pitch at that time. Fairness to Thomas Frank, he had a go. And Rowe, they end up getting the second goal. There was something interesting in the substitutes, Rob, wasn't there? They'd also hindered Nottingham Forest. Remember, they made the substitutes in the three windows in the second half. He made three substitutes in the three windows. When Danilo got a hamstring injury...
You can't make a sub because you've stopped the game three times to make substitutions.
So, again, that went against... That's just bad luck. You can't say, we could plan that.
Yeah.
With a few minutes on the clock, that's just bad luck again.
One last thing, Rob, that I did hear on UK radio reacting to this game that I kind of disagreed with. I wanted to ask you about it. Our main takeaway was Kouyaté, who's been a really good pro, by the way, for a long period of time. Was really good at Crystal Palace, wasn't it? And we directed our frustration at him.
Yeah.
But a lot of people are calling out the goalkeeper,
Keylor Navas. Thought he should have done better.
There's
an element of surprise that catches Navas because he doesn't know where it's coming. Then he sees it through the wall. I think because he got there and then it kind of hit the post and almost went back off him. I heard that, but I personally... You know what? If Kouyaté does his job, Navas doesn't even have to make the save.
And then the winning goal. Yeah. It gets done at the near post, possibly a little bit. You know, it goes by somebody who I think was offside.
Yeah.
It sneaks a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, he made
He made a brilliant save before that.
He went in the other direction.
But, I mean, different people. I think goalkeepers get a bit of a tough rap sometimes. When it goes in, he's been his near post. Oh, he's this. I mean, at the end of the day... Goalkeepers, they can't get to everything, and it'd be good to get Tim's view on the Navas situation. But I just thought, Kouyaté for me, Robert, if he's in my dressing room, I'm saying to him, you do your job, we were 1-0, we probably get the 3 points there.
Yeah. I just think, just finally on this, Rob, just generally, like, we've had a good look at the relegation teams.
Yeah.
I feel that watching Nottingham Forest over the last three games... Listen, they haven't got a ton of points, but I
30,
feel like there's something there.
Yeah,
I feel
I
like...
absolutely agree. The only thing I'd question, Rob, now is the weekend is a gut-wrencher. The weekend feels gone. Do you think that can affect...
I worry about him scoring.
Yeah.
I don't know whether he's the answer.
Yeah. He's got Dennis Handley around. I don't know why he's not in, and whether he can go Brennan Johnson, up there, and Gibbs White.
But at least defensively,
they look organised.
We've hammered all the teams have been defensively poor. Weak.
Yeah, they got control.
They look against
Liverpool, they won in the week against Brighton, and this weekend against Brentford.
They were almost
in the game, and I think Steve Cooper's a man with a plan.
Yeah, I do too.
And you're right. If those teams down there, I kind of feel like Forest have got something.
Yeah. Last game, Rob. It was the first game this weekend, wasn't it?
Yeah, Saturday. Yeah.
Crystal Palace, 4-3 against West Ham United.
Yeah, that's some games, aren't
Gosh,
they?
It's hard to think back what happened about it. My main thought here was this penalty. This penalty on Nassif.
Aguerre on Eze. It was Eze.
And it was a winning goal, wasn't it? 1-2. It was a winning goal, wasn't it?
It was a penalty, yeah.
It was a penalty.
4-2. Made it 4-2 at the time.
Again, I feel very strongly that should not have been...
And that's
the second bad decision for
West Ham, with a handball from Thiago, and then Aguerre hand on Eze.
He gets by him.
Yeah.
Eze is going down because he thinks the sweeping foot.
It looks like there's
him.
A foot contact, doesn't it? But I'm thinking he must have caught his foot.
And then we saw it.
There's no contact whatsoever.
So it was given on a kind of a reached, and players kind of reach and
yeah, but it's contact.
It's contact. I mean, it's just the way
he doesn't
defend.
Grab really. I don't see a grab of the shirt. He doesn't pull the shirt back. It's like he holds his shirt and then he gets his hand away because he realises Eze's already falling. And, I wouldn't criticise the referee on that, Rob, because when it happened real time, I thought penalties clipped him. So I'm saying, okay, I've got VAR. The VAR would see it. They might just say to the referee, come over and have a look, because there hasn't been a clip. It's this arm contact. Now we can decide, and if he decides it's a penalty or not, at least he sees it and makes a decision.
But the VAR's got to say,
yeah,
I think you've made a clear and obvious error. And I think that for me, that was like...
That was a clear and obvious error.
That's
correct.
A communication. Who is it? I've got it here. Craig Pawson. And it was Jared Gillett in the
VAR.
I thought it
was a poor decision.
I did. And so, Craig Pawson, go and have a look at that. So what we did, and we sometimes have the ability to do this, we can contact the PGMOL, the head of referees in the UK. And we just asked a question like, was that given for... And we got a response back saying it was a shirt pull. And that's why it was given.
Yeah, it wasn't a clear and obvious error.
It wasn't a clear and obvious error. I think that's such a harsh penalty in terms of a shirt.
I mean, that's a bit of an out for PGMOL because they can wrap it up. And that, you know, listen, the arm did go across.
It's
not a clear and obvious error. But it doesn't take away from two things for me, Rob. A Crystal Palace team that are flowing.
Zaha
back in the team, four games out with groin, gets a goal.
Scores.
Threats going forward, Rob. More penetrative passing and running, are you, and goals. To the point where the question's been asked, and I think we sort of had a little debate, should Roy just hang in there, grab another year and move this thing on and give Palace time not to rush to make a decision? If the right man isn't ready, if the right guy, if their target isn't there...
Yeah.
Might I just say to Roy, give us 12 months, Roy. Give us a bit of time.
It's a good job, because there are going to be some Brendan Rodgers,
Graham
Potter.
Yeah.
There's going to be a few around. But you're absolutely right. And I can't believe I'm saying it. I can't believe that I think that's a good idea.
76-year-old.
Yeah, but I am going to say it because, and I'll tell you for why. When we saw Roy Hodgson before at Crystal Palace, that squad was ageing. It was always going to get turned over.
And the football wasn't progressive, was it?
But because you could argue the players, he had one star player in Wilf Zaha.
Yeah, he had Milivojevic, didn't he? He had Benteke,
he had McCarthy in midfield or whatever. And since, of course, they changed the manager, and they changed the team.
Yeah, it's been decent recruitment.
What I would say is now Roy Hodgson's coaching a club and a team that's very different, and the squad's very different.
He
can do better things with a better squad. And I wouldn't mind seeing it.
I remember seeing Roy with that Fulham team taking them to, was it Europa League?
Cup?
You know what I mean? It was a decent team. He had a good team.
Yeah.
A good team. Danny Murphy and all those players.
Given this squad, and like you said there, when you think of we often think of 4-2-3-1, and it kind of is. Yeah. Eze, Elise, Zaha in behind the striker. Love to see him. I mean, Andre,
are you?
Yeah, Jordan.
Did
score in this game.
Yeah, he did score. Looked really good goal, actually.
But I would love to see. Go and find somebody.
That's what I'm saying. A striker could make all the difference to that team.
Good centre back. The new centre backs there, Gay and Joachim Anderson.
Quickly on West Ham, Rob, because the penalty I thought overshadowed a little bit. I thought it was a poor West Ham performance. I thought they did well against Liverpool midweek and a little unlucky maybe to lose. Three of the goals came from set pieces, which I'm taking nothing away. You have to work at, and they got the goals at Suchek and Antonio, and then Aguirre gets one later on. I thought this was a day for the West Ham fans who sort of say with David Moyes, you know, it's good, but it is. Look what it is. The football's not great. Even when we win, Rob, even when you win sometimes, it's not fulfilling wins. It was a day for those who've got criticisms, I think, to come to the fore.
And we've disagreed a little. Like, you know what? If he wins the European competition and he pulls out of it, you kind of grant him a disappointing season. But you're absolutely right. It wasn't very good. I wonder if the team think that they're okay now.
Because they've got 34,
a little gap, 4-point gap there.
Yeah.
You're in the semi-final of the European competition. It wasn't a fired up West Ham performance at all.
Palace looked a lot better than West Ham.
They did look a lot better.
Didn't they?
Yeah.
The football looked a lot better.
Yeah. More skillful, more entertaining. Paquetá's
talent, isn't he?
But
you made a really good point, and I hope you don't mind me saying it on air, that Paquetá's the sort of player who would probably enjoy working with a different coach than David Moyes, a coach that wants the ball, that can get him on and play. He's a proper footballer, isn't he? He can make things happen, and he's not being utilised. You're not getting all the strengths out of him.
Well, there's Benrahma, there's Fornells.
Yeah.
There's Manuel Lanzini that hasn't played much. There's some talent in there. But listen, we've been there before.
Yeah.
West Ham have been there before.
His job.
And Pellegrini came
in. I just think it's an interesting debate. And I think it's an interesting time for West Ham in the summer to take stock and decide what's next for us. Yeah. Is it survival again? Is it like if we have to dig it out with Moyes?
To try and progress the style.
Yeah, are we thinking about progressing the football club in the style? Listen, mate, what a weekend. It was. I'm calling it a top weekend because it's a day where Manchester City moved back top of the table. Yeah. Liverpool came out on top of a seven-game thriller. Bournemouth tops up. They look like they're staying up, even though I start to guys say, don't say that yet. I'm afraid for Southampton, they look almost down, my friend. We'll be back on Thursday. That's May the 4th. We'll review the midweek matches. Looking forward to Man City against West Ham, Liverpool hosting Fulham, and then Brighton have Manchester United at the Amex on Thursday. It looks a really good game. But for now, I'm Earl. He's Musty, together with the two Robbies. Thanks for watching and listening. Be safe. Stay healthy. It's a good night from me.
That's a good night from him.
Good night.
Vanguard is working hard to balance opportunity and risk for investors in this time of volatile yields. We know financial advisors are working hard to do the same. Visit vanguard.com/fixed income today. Important information. All investing is subject to risk, including the possible loss of the money you invest. Bond funds are subject to the risk that an issuer will fail to make payments on time and that bond prices will decline because of rising interest rates or negative perceptions of an issuer's ability to make payments. Vanguard Marketing Corporation, distributor.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.